Blog Talk Radio.
That's a refuge from Allah, from rejecting the enemy, Shaitan.
With Allah's name, most merciful, benefactor, merciful redeemer, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is still the prophet. And I bear witness that Allah is only one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen. I greet you with the world's greetings, really, of Allah's peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Block Talk Radio, the message of concern, serious concern, main focus, and the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children, which we know the message of concern is the removal of all images from worship that portrays divine. That's all images, whether it be statues, whether it be crosses or whatever the image may be that portrays divine. That's in your worshiping places, your home. And that's what we are trying to share with you, the reasons why this image should be removed, or it's really not necessary for it to be a configuration in your daily observations of your home and your surroundings. And I greet you once again, like I said, with nations greetings of peace. I say nations, you know, and my mind went back, didn't it? With the greetings of Allah's peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Okay, this is Tuesday, and it's July 26, 2022. And this is the day that we focus on. The main focus is on the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the children. And I also want to reiterate, well, say it, because I didn't say it before, so I can't reiterate it, but just say it and remember to say it, that this program, this Block Talk Radio show, is courtesy of, Yasir Muhammad out of L.A., and is sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School, S for Science, T for Technology, E for Engineering and Economics, and M for Math. Alhamdulillah. Sciences. Okay. And first of all, I want to mention that if anyone would like to start us off by sharing with us some of their wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and outlook or suggestions, you know, on what to do about schooling our children, since we know that next month, which is a few days away, is the beginning of another school year for our children. So if you have any ideas or if you have any news, any current news to share with us, what you might have read in the papers or on your cell phone or that you hear, that you know you can check up on and search for yourself to see if how true it is what you heard, you know, then you can share that with us by pushing 1 on your telephone receiver. We'll open your mic and bring you into the queue, and you can voice your concerns, okay? As we know, too, this has always been, and when we first started the show, we would emphasize it, that the psychological effect not only takes place or on the minds of the world's children, but also the parents, especially the mothers, those who have to work, those who are told they have to have a diploma before they can homeschool their children, that did not agree to them being in school with the COVIDs, and that was the reason why the children were given these little notepads or computers, you know, to take home so they could keep up on their homework and their study. And the parents that were not, had not graduated from high school and has no diploma to show for it were not allowed, they say, not allowed to even homeschool their children because of that diploma they did not have, which was very unfair because that's simple. know, that's just simple because that's a common sense that we could teach our children, whether we had a degree or not or a diploma or not. Back in the day, early in the day, children, mothers didn't have any diploma or degrees and all this sort of thing, and the children were well taught and raised children. Children were raised very, you know, on the tee, decent morals, respect, and dignity, you know. So all these things we have to look at and use the common sense that Allah has blessed us with to use it to the best of our ability in order to be able to share with them what we see and what we were taught growing up and all those things which still stand, you know. Now you try to explain to the children nowadays some things that we were taught when we were younger, and then, but that was in those days. It was the olden days, yeah, but the same act is there. It's out there. The same act. They might have kept it on the down low, like drugs and smoking or prostitution or stealing or whatever, you know. It was on the down low, gays and all that. But now everything is in the open, like Johnny Taylor said. Everything's out in the open now. So, you know, everybody knows about just about most things that are going on in the world nowadays. So so it's hands across the table now, you know. Or shoot your best shot, or whichever one it might be. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we pray that everybody is safe and doing well. And those who are not doing so well, when we got on the line Sunday, we pray Allah, the doers went up, and they're feeling better today, and we get better and better, like the younger children, little children say now, they get gooder and gooder. So that's our prayer, I mean. Okay, I want to get my glasses here, and I didn't read this last week, but I didn't want to be too repetitious, you know, about what we do every week, because every week it should be really something new that we can bring to the table, and not the same old thing. But what I was speaking of is the two, find the book. What I was speaking of is the two chapters in the Bible, King James Version, two chapters and their verses that had similar reading, and which gave me an indication that it carried some clout. It carried some weight. It was a necessity to pay attention to. So I would read them coming from Brother Henry's book, which I call also sometimes my little mascot book, because you can read it over and over and over, and it's just like, well, not like, I wouldn't compare it to the Quran, but just I would say it's one of those books that you can read over and over and over, and every time you do read it, you learn something new or an explanation or get a better understanding from it. So, and we know that we do that in our Quran every time we read it, or every Ramadan session, or every Ramadan, during Ramadan, when we read 1/30th, each time, each year, we read the same thing over, but we're blessed with different revelations, you know, and Allah reveals different understandings to us. We get a better understanding each year, alhamdulillah, inshallah. Inshallah. So these chapters, this is Brother Henry's book, which the title is What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health. What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health by Henry S. Muhammad. It has 126 pages, and it has 26 chapters, and you will see the courtesy of Congress, the Library of Congress, pictures in each chapter. And they talk about from children on up to adults, people of different complexions, but mainly speaking on the darker complected children, number one, as well as people. But I'd like to emphasize on the children's readings or chapters, which they're very short. Most of them are very short chapters, but it tells a long story. It tells a long story. And one of them is chapter 20, Traumatized and Living in a State of Denial. And this is where we see this young male child on his knees with his elbows under his fist under his chin with elbows on a chair, but it has a big I would say a plaque or a picture, a plate shaped like a plate, and it has Caucasians in the picture the picture of the plate on the plate, but it's talking about the traumatization and living in a state of denial that the child has, and he's wondering why the people of our complexion is not on this picture or in this plate like theirs. And it reads, the social scientists tell us that victims of violent crimes need to go through a period of psychological readjustment or psychotherapy so that they won't have to spend the rest of their lives experiencing the mental anguish and pain that an extremely violent crime would produce in their minds. When we examine the cruel, hateful, and heartless crimes that were violently forced up on the lives of African-American slaves over a 300-year period, it becomes shockingly and painfully clear that the African-American community never experienced a true period of psychological reconstruction or readjustment. Just think about that for a second. For several centuries, African-American slaves were forced, under the threat of death, to surrender their God, that's the capital G-D, given right to think freely and independently for themselves. African-American slaves were brutally forced, under the threat of death, to accept a religious teaching that said, capital G-D, lived on earth humanly as a Caucasian man. They were also forced under the threat of death to believe a teaching that said African Americans were cursed by capital G-D to be subhuman, obedient, willing slaves for their cruel slave masters from the day they were born until the day that they died. Just imagine if a nation of mentally unstable people held guns up to your ancestors' heads and forced them to work without pay, day after day, year after year, from sun up to sundown, every day of their lives. Just about all of you would have your present-day employees or employers thrown in jail if he or she stole just a week's worth of pay from you. Wouldn't it be a horrible crime if your ancestors were forced for centuries to live as domesticated work animals under a legal system that allowed them to be branded by hot irons and sold on auction blocks like sheep, horses, cows, and mules? Wouldn't it be a horrible crime if your wives and daughters were forced under the threat of death to sexually reproduce like dogs and horses, just so they could give birth to an endless supply of slave babies who could later be sold on auction blocks or worked in the fields as a human livestock? If unthinkable crimes like these were historically committed against your ancestors, wouldn't they need a period of psychological readjustment so that their traumatized thinking wouldn't be passed on to their future generations? Sure they would. But the African-American slave community never received a period to psychologically readjust into American society. The African-American community was never psychologically rebuilt after it was psychologically torn down. To this day, I believe that the African-American community suffers from severe post-traumatic stress associated with their ancestors' 300-year slave experience. Where are the learned social scientists and psychologists that are ready to explain to the American society how pinned-up anxiety, anger, inner fear, self-hatred, and trauma have plagued the thinking of the African-American community for centuries? Where are the religious leaders and community leaders who are brave enough to tell to the African-American community that capital G hyphen D does not have a flesh body or an ethnic identity? The strength or the straight truth is that African-American fathers can never regain their rightful dignified role as fathers and husbands while their wives and children are being taught that capital G hyphen D Almighty lived on the earth as a Caucasian man. Now that was that page about the traumatized. And another subject or identity with the post-traumatic no psychological adjustment is the wars in the military. You know, they have the PTSD, you know, that's the psychological, that's the post-traumatic stress syndrome that the soldiers have after war when they come back to the States, when they have these nightmares and these dreams when it's thundering and lightning and stuff like that. I worked at the VA, and I experienced a lot of that from the war veterans. You know, when they be out there ready, especially in Korea and even in Vietnam, where they would thunder and it would thunder and lighten, you know, the lightning would flash and all, and they would have flashbacks and want to run up under the beds, you know, or hide in corners and all this sort of thing. Yes, that was a live experience that I've seen from them. And they had to go through, they had to, because I worked on the psych ward, mental health ward, and they had to go through therapy. And thank Allah, was being offered at that time, you know, but those, many of them, have not been blessed enough to go through any type of psychological readjustment. So they're still, and even with the therapies that the ones have that are privileged to go through the therapies of the readjustments, they still sometimes takes a while. It's just like being in prison. Once you've experienced prison and you get out, a lot of them, they're so used to being institutionalized, a lot of the ex-offenders, until they can't get used to being out, you know, in population. And they, too, went through post-traumatic stress syndrome, or still do. Some of them still do. Yeah. So we pray a lot for them. We pray a lot to bless them to overcome and to get better, you know, and to get better, for people to try and understand more and listen to them more, because, too, they need people to try and understand them. Some of the things they do are so forbidden or taboo, until sometimes they'll ask themselves, why don't they understand, you know, why don't people understand us and why we're doing this, you know. Why this is happening is not what we want to do and want to happen and want to see people go through because of us. You know, we have a wife, battered wives, you know what I'm saying, who's going through the eras of war, you know, or mates that have been institutionalized, and then when they get out, it's hard. It's hard. But if we love them and if we care for them, then we try and understand, and we go through therapy ourselves, you know what I'm saying, and especially with the females, go through therapy themselves, and some military females too, you know, so they have to have male mates that understand what they are going through and try and understand and just hold on, you know, and pray to Allah to bless them with patience, prayer, and perseverance, and bless them to be able to cope, you know, and to be able to assist their loved ones who are going through things like that. Okay. Now, that's so much for that. Did anybody get the paper yet? The Muslim Journal then yet? So did they have, do they have anything? Dry throat again. Fast all day, you forget. Hurry so long during the day until you just forget you haven't eaten, then your throat get dry. Have anybody else out there that would like to share something with us right now about what I've said about the post-traumatic stress syndromes and about the non-adjustment, what is non-readjustment? Anybody, somebody. Okay. Come on, when you get ready, that's okay. I'll just make do, inshallah. Inshallah. Okay, and if you have any problem trying to push the one and come into the queue, then just call 404-452-3312, and we'll see if we can open your mic for you and then bring you into the queue. I'm learning how to do. Excuse me, I didn't mean to come up like that so soon. But I am trying to get myself adjusted to trying to do this here, not the old way of pulling up stuff on your tape, on your tape recorder, and all this sort of stuff, you know. But it's not an easy thing to learn. To me, it's not. Okay, we're going to read on showing results for the latest on the COVID virus with children. Okay. And it talks about children in COVID-19 state level data report. Said state level reports are the best publicly available and timely data on child COVID-19 cases in the United States. The American Academy of Pediatrics, they're one who seem to have that type of information for us. Yeah. It says children and COVID-19 state level data report. Summary of findings. Data available as of 7/21/22. Now, this is the 26th. Okay, so you know this is current. And it says, cumulative number of children, COVID-19 cases. Mm. 14,003,497 total child COVID-19 cases reported. And children represent 18.6%. Oh, my goodness, there's a lot of children. For just for this COVID here, I want to just wipe them out. Okay. So overall rate is 18,605 cases per 100,000 children in the population. Overall rate is 18,605 cases per 100,000 children in the population. That's the cumulative number of child COVID-19 cases. And then it says change in child COVID-19 cases. It's got 91,932 child COVID-19 cases were reported the past week from July 14th, 22 to July 21st, 22. Okay, so it's 13,911,565 to 14,003,497, and children representing 12.7% of 91,992 per 724,953 of the weekly reported cases. Over 2 weeks from July the 7th to July the 21st, 2022, there was a 1% increase in the accumulated number of child COVID-19 cases since the beginning of the pandemic. 167,365 cases added, 13,836,132 to 14,003,497 cases. It also says data limitations. The numbers in this report represent cumulative counts since states began reporting. The data are based on how public agencies collect, categorize, and post information. All data reported by state / local health departments are preliminary and subject to change, and reporting may change over time. Notably, in the summer of 2021 and winter of 2022, some states have revised cases counts previously reported. They have revised them. Some states have revised, okay, cases counts previously reported, begun reporting less frequently, or dropped metrics previously reported. For example, due to several changes on their dashboards and the data currently available, I think this is Alabama, Texas, Hawaii, is that H-I, Hawaii, D.C., Washington, D.C., okay, Massachusetts, South Carolina, New England states. It's not Nebraska. Some of these niches, yeah. I say them to you, and you can figure them out. And Minnesota data. Okay, this is capital A-L. These are the, for example, due to several changes on their dashboards and the data currently available, capital L, capital A, capital L, capital T, capital X, capital H, capital I, capital D, capital C, capital M, capital S, capital S, capital C, capital N, capital E, and capital M, capital N. Now, I think it is AL being Alabama, TX being Texas, HI being Hawaii, DC being Washington, DC, District of Columbia, okay, MS being Massachusetts, SC being South Carolina, NE being Nebraska. Is it New England? Okay. And MN being Minnesota. This is the data in this report are not current. Accumulative data through 7/29/2021 and 8/26/21, 1/13/22, 3/3/22, 3:10:22, 4:28:22, and 5:12:22, and 6:30:22, respectively. Additionally, as of 3:17:22, Florida published case and death data available every other week. Readers should consider these factors. States may have traditional information on their website. Excuse me. Changes in testing and how states report might affect week-to-week comparisons. The extremely high volume of cases during the Omicron surge, followed by the sharp decline in cases, may have created discontinuities in state reports week to week. Shortage of COVID-19 tests during surges and the increasing use of COVID-19 home tests likely affect the undercounting of COVID-19 cases. During holiday weeks, states may change their reporting schedule, which may cause irregularities in trends. At times when COVID-19 transmission is low, states might reduce the frequency information is updated. Beginning in March 2022, several states shifted to updating data 1 to 2 times a week. For children, the period when school is not in session might reduce the volume of testing and reporting. On July 15, 22, Texas released new data that is not included in cumulative case counts or figures, but located here and in Appendix 3B of this report, 1,250,637 cumulative child cases as of 7/15/22. Oh my God. Cases, though. Cases doesn't include deaths. It just says cases. I'd like to know more about it if it includes death or just cases. I'd like to find that out. Okay, because it says 1,250,637 cumulative child cases as of July 15, 22. It says Texas previously reported age for only a small proportion of total cases each week. In other words, 2-20%. These cumulative cases through August 26, 21 are included, 7,754. As of June 16, 22, due to only a portion of states reporting hospitalizations and deaths, we are no longer providing updates on cumulative hospitalizations and mortality data. Oh, wow. The CDC now provides information that includes all of the U.S. For information regarding U.S. child hospitalizations from the CDC, visit website. Well, you know the first two, https://. COVID CDC.gov/COVID-data-tracker/new-hospital-admissions. Wow. So if you want to get that information, it's https://covid.cdc.gov/covid-data-tracker/new-hospital-admissions. For information pertaining to U.S. child mortality from the CDC, visit. Oh, here's another one. Mortality rate. Okay, Quran. I think Quran was one time speaking on the totality of the overall amount of children. Okay, and it's https semicolon, /covid.cdc.gov/covid-data-tracker/demographics. Download full report, 7/21/2022. Download full report, 7/14/2022. Download full report. Oh, excuse me. Okay, it says download full report 7, that's July 7, 2022. Okay, this is the end of it now. It says additional information, care for children with acute illness in the ambulatory care setting during the public health emergency, COVID-19 testing guidance, AAP news, COVID-19 collection, pediatrics, COVID-19 collection. Okay, so that's all the information there that you can get, and you can get it for yourself, and you can pull it up on your computer or your cell phone, and it's headed Children and COVID-19 State Level Data Report. Children and COVID-19 State Level Data Report, if you would like to keep check on that. Okay, does anyone else have any thing to say, a report, or contribution on this? Okay, and we're looking for participation now. Don't forget, we're in this together, and every little bit helps. Okay, that right there is. Okay, I know that. Okay, I'm waiting for somebody to show me. Just push 1 on your receiver. Push 1 on your receiver, your phone receiver. I will open up your mic and bring you into the queue. Don't forget, this is a sharing. This is your family. We got to share this. I get to other pages before I read it. Put some journal. Okay, yes, I do. I have it here. Okay, so I will read to you. Since we don't have any discussions going on, I'll just give you some current events. I'll just read, okay, like we used to do in high school, in school. Okay, this is the Muslim Journal. The latest issue that I have, June 18th through 24th, June 18th through June 24th, 2022. And it's about Sister Kalima Overton Amin, Muslim Journal's newest columnist, okay? And it's talking about hidden in plain sight, abandonment and the devastating effects on women, children, and the community. Meet Muslim Journal's new columnist, Kalima Overton Amin. We might have read some parts of this from before. I don't think we read all of it. I'm not mistaken. Well, okay, I'm reading this. Muslim Journal notice. We welcome to Muslim Journal as its newest columnist, author Kalima Overton Amin. Sister Kalima developed a love of reading and writing poetry as a child. She read everything she could get her hands on, from National Geographic magazines to her mother's Harlequin novels, always writing poetry and short stories for fun. She went on to college, majoring in English literature, bringing her love of Shakespeare. Oh, yeah, I think I did read this. And with her, and was happy that her college offered Shakespeare as part of her program. But it was in college that she was exposed to black female writers who became her favorites, like Nikki Giovanni, Sonia Sanchez, Bell Hooks, and J. California Cooper. She was able to dive deep into African history while in college and was introduced to Islam through her older brother. Kalima converted to Islam in the early 1990s, just before graduating college. Alhamdulillah. It's at that time that she began to focus her writing on the rights of women, with the understanding that the true practice of Islam liberates women and protects them from oppression and objectification. Although she has had a successful 30-year career writing as a federal grant and policy analyst, Hidden in Plain Sight is her first publication. Her soon-to-be-released book under this title, she explains, was a labor of love and healing. Kalima wanted to devote this work to educating her sisters of all faiths who have suffered oppression through the weaponization of abandonment. She hopes to call attention to the use of abandonment as a weapon and its effects on the family and the community, and to provide steps to educate, protect, and heal those affected by this form of psychological abuse. Sister Kalima was born and raised in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. She received her Bachelor of Arts degree in English Literature at Elizabeth City State University and studied urban planning and public policy at Norfolk State University, graduate school. Okay. So it's saying that she studied urban planning and public policy at Norfolk State University Graduate School. She began her career as a grants specialist in the university sector. Later, she entered the federal government, where she served in the role of grants specialist, contracting officer, and finally, a policy analyst specializing in the areas of disaster relief, emergency response, and public health programs. Kalima retired in August 2021 after 21 years of federal service. She is currently serving as a senior specialist and subject matter expert for an international disaster relief consulting firm, advising states and local governments on disaster preparedness and response to the post-COVID environment. Yeah, I read that last week. During her career, she was honored to present at the White House Initiative on HBCUs in Washington, D.C., and at Congresswoman Allard's annual conference in Los Angeles, California. She co-hosted an international environmental conference whose memorabilia made it into the National Museum of African American History in Washington, D.C. One of her proudest accomplishments was hosting the Community Empowerment Summit in conjunction with the W. D. Muhammad Islamic Center of Chesapeake. This summit empowered young adults to take leadership in the community. That's what's going on now here in Atlanta. is doing pretty good, too. Kalima has received a host of certifications, yeah, honors, awards, including a Federal Citation for Outstanding Individual Award, Federal Citation for Outstanding Group Performance for Pediatric Mental Health, Federal Administrators Commendation for Outstanding Performance, the U.S. Department of Commerce Bronze Medal Award for Superior Federal Service, Excellence in Procurement and Contracts Award, and a nomination for Outstanding Performance for Emergency Support CADRE at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, just to name a few. Wow. Kalima has been an avid volunteer in multiple communities over the last 30 years. Her career allowed her to live in several states, and upon arrival in each state, one of her very first tasks after getting settled was always to find a place to volunteer in the community. In her spare time, she enjoys co-hosting an interfaith radio show and is co-owner of an Afrocentric clothing and bookstore. Kalima can be reached via email, hidden in plain sight, as a capital H in lowercase IDDEN, capital I, lowercase N, capital P, lowercase LAIN, capital S, lowercase IGHT, 2022@gmail.com. Okay. Now that's for her. Now, does anyone else now? I see if you have anything to say, I want to say anything, please push 1 on your receiver, your phone receiver, and I will turn on your mic and bring you into the queue. Does anyone have any current news for us, reference to what's happening, expecting to happen in the winter or in the fall about the COVID virus for children as well as adults? But for children, I want to know about first. If you don't have any information about the children, then you can bring it about the adults. If you have any current information about what's expected to happen or what they can see that's going to happen, foreseeing that's going to happen in the winter in reference to the COVID virus. Please push 1. Okay, well, I want to do that then. Okay, here we are. Someone has, alhamdulillah. I've opened your mic. And assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Da'iya, and those who are in the tube, you know, and those who are outside the tube, you know, we thank Allah for you. What I'm going to do, I'm going to bounce in for a minute and bounce right back out. I'm going to call this sister who I've been knowing for about 30 years. She's just been appointed to be in charge of COVID. I didn't get all of it. We talked for about a while, but I didn't get all the dynamics of it. I'm going to call her right back and see if she's willing to come on and share with the audience her position there in Savannah, Georgia, being responsible for the dissemination of COVID information. So let me call her and see if she's available to come on, and I'll call right back in, inshallah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, let me do that. All right, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Rekum assalam barakatuh. Meanwhile, does anyone else have anything to say, to speak on, as far as the COVID in the children or adults or the elderly or any new current events that you have? What the expectations may be for the winter months. then before you know it, they will be here soon. We haven't had a very, very hot summer, but it's been hot to me. But those without air conditioning and all, maybe fans either, pray Allah that they don't suffer. Okay, I see someone else has come on. Anytime, if you, okay, we're waiting for Brother Muhammad to come back on with a guest, inshallah. But meanwhile, we want to give others the privilege to be brought into the queue to voice any concerns that you might have. And then when Brother Muhammad comes back on with a guest, then we can let them come on. Okay, we have another person who, and I think this is 213, this brother, Rashad. I think this is
Sedalia.
Brother Rashad.
Sedalia.
Excuse me?
Brother Sedalia.
Oh, Brother Sedalia. I apologize. I do apologize. But welcome.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
I had been in the, a couple of months. I had brought some information about an auction, and I was just following up to see if anyone had bought anything.
Okay, now that most likely would be Brother Muhammad, because the last one you were talking about was in Columbus, Georgia?
Yes.
Are you the one? Okay. I think I remember hearing him say that nobody really participated but himself and maybe one other. I don't think they took it any further, because I just think that he really wasn't satisfied with the turnout of the people that had been announced. You, yes. Could you spell your last name for me, please?
My name is, I'll spell the first name first. It's S-U-R.
S-U-R.
D-A-L.
D-A-L.
Y-E-R, Sedalia. The last name is Brown.
Okay. Sedalia. Okay. Sedalia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brown. All right. Thank you, Brother Sedalia.
My pleasure.
I'm Sister Daiya Akbar, and my husband is other co-host, Brother Abdul Akbar. We're here in Atlanta. Well, we're in Decatur.
Oh, okay.
You know, real close. To, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's back on. Maybe he can give you more input on that.
Okay.
So you want me to bring Brother Muhammad up. And thanks for coming back on.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I'm the host for tonight, Psychological Effect that the Image Has on the Mind of the World's Children, but we're into the current event and the business part of it, if you would like to talk about that later when we finish with this year. Okay, let me get Brother Muhammad back on to see if he has the guest. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Muhammad.
Wa alaykum as-salam. The guest speaker should be already there calling in. I told her what she called in. All she had to do is press 1, and then you will bring her in the cube. And she's going to give you an overview of her responsibility there with COVID-19, especially for the children. Also, Sister Sauda, by chance, are you on? Can you hear me? If you are, all you have to do is push 1, and she will bring you into the queue. So whenever
912. You said Savannah, right? 912.
Yes, 912.
Okay, that's
yes, ma'am.
Yes. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Okay. Yes. I'm Sister Daya Akbar, the host for today, and Brother Muhammad admitted to us that if he could, he would like to get you on, because today is the day we focus on psychological effect that Image Has on the mind of the world's children, and we focus on children. So we hear that you may have some information on us in reference to that COVID and the children.
of COVID and other information. I work for the Chatham County Emergency Rental Assistance Program for COVID. And my second job, I work for Park Place Outreach, which is a homeless runaway shelter for children, for adolescents 11 to 17. I've been working with kids all my life. In terms of COVID, what we're trying to do here, it's a federally funded program, it's run through the county. We're trying to keep people from being evicted, especially families. And the program works, and the programs, how it works is that you have to attest to the fact that you have been affected by COVID, which all of us have been, so it's not a hard to attest to. So basically, we are paying people's past due rent and 3 months forward up to a limit of 18 months. But and what I do is I do quality review for these applications, and I've noticed an alarming trend in the applications that I'm reviewing. I don't know if it's COVID or something else, but people have just seemed to given up on working. And I mean people with children, and it's like, I go through applications and nobody, and they're not working. And I'm like, how do you think the rent's going to get paid with these kids? And it's disturbing me, because quite frankly, in Savannah currently, unemployment is at an all-time low. It's a workers' market. You can work at a fast food restaurant for $15-16 an hour, which was unheard of prior to the pandemic. But these folk are not working. Now, the other alarming trend I'm getting from working at Park Place, that the majority of our children who come in are runaways. They are running away from they're running away from home. And most of their problems with running away from home have to be about discipline. They want to do what they want to do, and their parents don't want them to do what they want to do. And I think as parents, we have lost our way. We've stopped being parents, and we're friends. And we allow behavior as small children. We allow behavior to get away with behavior as small children. And then when they become teenager and the behavior becomes dangerous, the child is like, so why are you? What's the problem now?
Right.
What's the problem now? I mean, I constantly talk to kids about, you are a kid. I'm not a kid, I'm grown. I said, grown people pay their own bills.
Right.
You are in somebody else's home who's paying the bills, buying the clothes, and you want to do what you want to do. So I think, yes, our children are not well, but our children are not well because the parents are not well. We're not parenting.
Thank you.
And I think we're not parenting because these parents tend to be very young and they weren't parented. Nobody has any parenting skills. Because your child is here, your child is running away, but your child calls you on the phone and you run, go buy him a pair of $200 sneakers. Why?
To reward him for running away?
Exactly. To reward him for running away. I see all kind of rewards for behavior that's not good. I see that, and I see parents. I'm doing so many applications on this other job, and I was like, when did we stop working for a living?
That's right. Absolutely.
Mental health is a family issue. It's a family issue. And if the parent isn't right, then the children aren't going to be right. And we've got to approach this holistically.
We do. Yes, we do.
We have to treat the kids, but we also have to treat the parents. I have women who are angry at the fathers who won't let them see them, and I tell them all the time, that's bad. That's my third job. I'm a very busy lady. I also do negotiate between custodial and non-custodial parents for visitation. And people are just angry. And I keep trying to tell these women, you cannot be angry. You cannot keep a child from its father because you're going to create a resentment down the road.
That's right. It's not going to help. It's going to hurt, if anything. Mm-hmm.
On top of which, in particular with young men, when that boy gets to be about 12, 13, or 14, you're not going to be able to handle him, and you're going to hope that you better hope you have a good relationship with his father because he may need to go into that man's house.
That's right. I don't know why they can't see that. Mm-hmm.
Everybody is so caught up in their own individual personal anger that, like I said, we're not acting as a community. We're not acting as a family. We have lost something. We have lost our village.
Yes. Yes.
And we who are the elders in the village need to really, we really need to work on it. And all COVID has done for us is made the situation worse.
Mm-hmm. Having to be at home all day with children, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that did not go well too. We got a lot more referrals during COVID than we did when there was no COVID because all of a sudden you're home with this kid.
Yes.
And you've
imagine.
Discovered that the and you've discovered the teacher isn't so crazy after all.
that's a wise statement.
Yeah. And you have now discovered that the teacher is not so crazy when she says he doesn't know how to behave or he doesn't know how to sit down. I mean, and that's from little children. Also, we don't teach no.
Right.
I watch people negotiate with their children. Instead of saying no, I see them saying, well, maybe later or whatever. No is a part of life.
Right.
and if you don't say no, the police and the criminal justice system is going to say no.
That's it.
But I see people not say no. And I remember reading a case file of a child we got in, and she says, he doesn't take well to no. We need to tell them later on or whatever. And I looked at my supervisor. I said, well, you know, that's not going to work for me.
You know, whose fault is
I was like, that's not going to work for me because I'm going to say no to him. Because I'm sorry that he's got to 15 and he doesn't understand and knows part of the language, but it is.
Telling you.
I think it's not that I'm old-fashioned, but I do think we need to go. Our children's mental health issues are directly related to ours.
That's true. That's very true.
If you're not healthy, if you're unhappy, your children are going to be unhappy.
Believe it or not. Mm-hmm.
And we have, and in our community, in the African American community, we have this thing against counseling, and we just do. We just think that, or even spiritual counseling, you don't take them to the pastor, you don't take them to the imam. Someone out, if you're having problems, you need to introduce it to somebody else. And you need to admit that the child is having difficulty or that you're having difficulty.
That's right. You got to let it out, talk it out. It's like public relations.
You have to
talk it out. You got to get it out
and open. Yeah. You've got to air this out. If you're having problems parenting, you need to tell somebody, I'm having difficulty with this.
That's it.
I'm having problems. Can somebody help me? We have a Sudanese sister here who's raised 10 children. That woman could give a parenting class.
Wow, 10 children.
Yes. The most well-behaved children you've ever met in your life. I went with them when we evacuated Savannah for a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
People were just totally amazed at how well-behaved these kids were.
Wow.
They did everything she and her husband told them to do and what I told them to do, because I'm considered, in their culture, I'm auntie.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And if auntie speaks, you have to listen. They were so well-behaved. We were in a strange place, a strange town. Actually, the people were very nice. They brought another Sudanese family who lived there to talk to them. But I'm saying she could give a parenting class.
Mm.
Her children,
yeah,
her girls,
share
what she knows. It is not all by physical abuse. I watched that woman direct her children with her eyes,
like Grandma used to do.
Right. The minute I come into her house, before I can sit down good and say assalamu alaikum, whatever, a child is bringing me something. Because she's given a direction with her eyes.
Yep.
And I think we've stopped parenting our children. We children are not our friends. They are our responsibility.
No. It.
They're our responsibility. I also think that one of the things we have to do is sometimes you have to let children take hard knocks. And I'm saying this from personal experience. I have a child who's incarcerated. I didn't bond him out. I didn't get him an attorney. He didn't have that to do. You thought that the sidewalk community knew more than your Umi? Okay.
Mm. Where's the sidewalk community now, right?
Yeah. But it's actually a lot. But Allah has delivered him because it was the best thing that happened to him. I believe Allah has saved his life. He's come back into the deen. He has studied his. He knows his Quran backwards and forwards. The brothers have just asked him to be their imam inside of there.
Alhamdulillah.
So sometimes you tough love is the way to go.
That's it.
It's the way to go, and he's gotten so good when he has a question now on Islam. He says, "Wait a minute, brother, I need to call my Umi and let her fact check that because I don't know if that sounds right."
See. Yeah.
But I had to do that as a parent. I had to do that as a parent. I had to let Allah do with him what he will, what he needed to do.
That's right. Mm.
Bonding him out, getting him a lawyer, mitigating his circumstances would not have helped him. And sometimes we, as parents, we have stopped. I'm not saying that we stop loving our children or stop helping our children, but they have got to learn to be responsible for their actions.
That's it.
Their behaviors have consequences.
Right. I don't mean to be butting into what you're saying, but I'm in the amen corner over here because I'm a great grand of 15.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, when Muhammad called me, I told him I wouldn't mind speaking for a little bit about it because, you know, children have always been my passion.
Right, every little bit helps. And I'm sure the radio audience will enjoy listening to you and taking notes like myself. I'm taking a lot of notes here, different phrases and, you know, different little phrases you're using. It means a lot.
I also suggest that for anybody who is struggling, this program, although it's being run through Chatham County, this emergency rental assistance program, it's a federal program. It's going on in every county. If it's not going on in your county, it's run by the state. you need to look up ERAP, Emergency Rental Assistance Program. If you need help, look it up, because there is serious money out there to help people.
Okay. Thanks for that. Thank you.
I give that. I don't care where I'm at. I give that spiel. I gave that spiel at the last Eid celebration.
I'm sure a lot of people appreciate you too.
Yeah, but I did. I had people afterwards who came up to me and said, "Who do I contact? What?"
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's right. Cause that's needed. That type of information, because you're absolutely right. Too many people are being put out just because they can't make their rent and stuff like that. You don't have a job because of the COVID. How can you pay your rent?
Everything is going up with wages. Well, that's all I have to share.
Okay. Well,
hello.
I appreciate that.
And I'm going to bed because I have to drive to Charleston tomorrow at 5 a.m.
Do you have about 5 minutes? I know you say you have to go. Do you have about 5 minutes
no.
maybe for question and answering? As long as you keep the question short. Okay,
yeah,
then.
Sure.
I think I heard Sister Quran. Was that you, Sister Quran?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Islam Lake. What I just want to, you know, I heard what you said when you said, you know, with the son, when he got in jail, you know, what you did. And I was just thinking, I said, well, you was blessed, because that didn't work for everybody. Because I know one lady, she did the same thing and it didn't turn out good for her son. You know, they missed him up that night, so they really didn't turn out good for him. So when you said it, I just thought of that. I said that is good for her, and the mother know her child though. The mother know her child, so that's the only thing that I heard about.
I knew my child. I also know my child was smart, and my child has managed in these 3 years to not have any write-ups. He stays out of what you have to do when you go in there is you have to stay out of the prison politics. You've got to stop acting like it's you're on the street. And he's just totally out of it. He's not interested in anything they got to do. Everybody wants his body cell phones. He's not doing that. He just said, you've got to stay out of the politics. He doesn't get into anything with anybody. He hasn't had one write-up, one fight, one incident. He said, and what he says is not an easy maneuver, but he said, well, what they've seen in him is that he is about his deen, and that's all he's about.
So, and everybody's case is different, yeah. And everybody's case is different. Well, you
different,
know,
yeah.
Some of them.
I think what happened was with this lady's child is that he had just started getting out in the streets, you know, hanging out. So I think she just thought she could teach him a lesson. But that was his first time in, you know, doing anything. And I think that would mess him up right there. She didn't know.
Well, no, I have two boys. And I bought you out the first time. That's your one and only shot at it. You go back, you're on your own. So with the youngest one, it was not his first time. And I was like, you're going to eat this.
That's a blessing.
Because it won't, you're going to eat this. I bothered you out the first time, but you apparently think the dunya is more important than me. So. And he has learned.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
What's your name, sister? Can I get your name again?
Okay, my name is Sawda, Sawdah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, but sometimes, like I said, and he probably is different than my older two children because there's like 10 years gap. And they used to tell me all the time, you let him get away with more than we do. And it probably was because they were around when they were small. I was in my late 20s, early 30s. With him, I was in my 40s and my 50s, and I guess I was tired. You know,
I am convinced that
Allah gives women menopause for a reason. There's a point where you're supposed to stop raising children.
That's right. That's right. So I think you could have if we didn't, we'd be having children right now.
Mm-hmm. There's a point because they tell me all the time, well, you were very different with him than you were with us. And I was like, you're probably right, but I was tired.
I hear you. We'd like to ask other people. Is there someone else who has a question? Just come around and you finish. You're going to give somebody else a chance.
Well, we can go ahead, and then when they finish, nobody else, then I'll come back because I just want to say something, but I could let somebody else go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. That is if she's not ready to go, but let's get somebody else in here. Does anybody else have any questions to ask Sister Saudi? Sauda. Anyone else has a question for Sister Sauda? Okay, I see somebody's hand up right here. Okay, see somebody's hand up right there too. Okay, let's get to this one right here. We got a quick question now. We got not going to hold her up too much. She says she's tired. She got to get to bed. She got to travel tomorrow. She's traveling. Okay. Area code 404. The last number, 5630.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister Saleh. Thank you for coming. That's Brother Akbar from Atlanta. From
Malaikum
assalam.
We invite you, we thank you for coming on. We'd love to have you come back whenever you have time. What we heard tonight about the difficulty that you see in the community about the children and nobody's working and the children are running away because they don't want to be disciplined. They don't want to follow the, you know, also come from not only the home life, but also sneaks in from the music and other things that bring that comes into that child mind from outside as well as the inside. So you're right, we got to be better parents if we're gonna save our future. They are our future. They are the next generation. They are the ones who's supposed to pick up the pieces and saw it and carry further. But they let this world get into them and make them think that they the adults. So we go
it makes them think
and like
it makes them think they're the adults, brother. Yes, it does.
And sometimes they had to fall on their face and obviously see which direction it's best to go. Sometimes you got to left off on their face. I experienced that myself. Thank you, Sister Sally, and we're going to we have another young man. He wants to make say something. You want to say something, Sister Sally?
Okay, Brother Akbar, can we just let the other person who was already up say something? We had the one that you're bringing on, but we'll give it because she only has a certain length of time. Let's see if a person here want to say something, and then we'll bring you back in, okay?
Okay.
Appreciate that. Assalamu alaikum, area code 213 with the last four digits, 0308. Your mic is open.
No, I didn't have anything to say. I didn't know how to close my mic from before.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I'll close your mic then from before. And you go ahead, Brother Akbar. You can bring the person in you want to bring in now.
Rocky, you want to say his name? Rocky, you want to say his name?
What's his number here? I don't know the area code he's calling from.
He finds it on my phone. Let me see.
Oh, he's on your phone.
Yeah, he's riding on my phone. Let me see. Rocky, how you gonna make them?
And that's a 706? Is that a 706 number? Okay, come on now. She only has a little bit of time. I mean, well, you know, she's allowing us, give us some of her time, but she did say she has to travel in the morning. She needs to get some rest. So if you have a question for her, Alim Salam.
Okay, brother.
Alim Salam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alim Salam.
You know, I think what our interest should be is the order of righteousness, and the order have to be implemented by Allah. Allah has given us a decision of our will to orchestrate into righteousness, though we know society is against righteousness and more for unmoral behavior and unmoral life. This excellence have to not just come from the parents, but it have to come from the community. Harriet Tubman said that it takes a village to raise a child. And the concern is not of when a child is around the parents, but more so when it's out in the world, when it's being programmed with the incompetence of subliminal messages to take over the mentality of that child. So children, Satan is not attacking the adults, because adults have made their minds up either to serve Allah or to not to serve Allah. But Satan wants the children, and he wants the children now more than ever. Now more than ever, because of the world and the cruelty of the world and countries. And some say it's almost as it appears to be signs of the end of the world. So Satan wants the Puritanists amongst us. And we have to invest every cent, every dollar, every good person into our child. We have to invest in our children. And if we do not invest in our children, we will lose our children, and we will allow Satan to take them over. And the order have to be implemented through righteousness, not just inside of the home, but even in the schools and somewhere in the streets. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Rocky, for your input. Very well taken. Now, sister, do you have any more little time? I see a couple of other people who have just come in. If you have any questions, make them short, please, because she's done a presentation already, and due to the time, we want to be just with that, okay? If you have any question to ask her or contribute any information, then just push 1 on your phone receiver. I will open your mic, and you'll be brought into the queue. Someone who has not spoken yet, someone who wants to ask a question, contribute something to the Sister Sada about her expertise and her what she does, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, and capital E, capital R, capital A, capital P. And she's given information. She works with children all of her life, she says. And she's giving good information on how to cope with our youth nowadays. It's kind of rough too. I wouldn't take
it
to be I wouldn't take
it's
to be
extremely rough.
Yes, indeed, I can imagine. Okay, so now, anybody has a question Okay, let me see. Well, thank you for joining. This is very interesting, too. Okay, now, did you speak already? Area code 213.
Yes, I spoke. I spoke already.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. And 30, spoke already. And, that's her, 912. Okay, that's you. Okay. Well, 909, area code 909. There you go, 909. Hello? Wait a minute, I guess. There you go, 909. Did you speak already? There you go, 909. Last four digits, 5630. Do you have something to say, ask a question, or contribute information? If so, you can speak. Tell us who you are. You can speak. Okay, if not, then we put you back in listening mode. Maybe you don't want to speak. Okay. Well, Sister Sada, I think you are going to get away. This is a good conversation here, though. I tell you, it's one that could go on and on, but you've done a good deed tonight. Pray Allah bless you with patience.
Inshallah.
And perseverance. Because you need it. What's this, inshallah? Because you need it, yeah. That's really sad.
Well, I'm glad
that's
I was able to contribute to the conversation. Children, the brother is right about one thing. Children, we are not going to live forever.
Right.
And children are, and we have a duty that we were given from Allah to take care of them.
That's true.
And whether you're a parent or not, we all, he's right, the community is responsible for our children.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
So
I
hope the information I shared, if anything I've said has offended anybody, I apologize. If anything of any good, that's from Allah.
That's
and
right.
I hope y'all have a good evening.
And you too, and please come back. Please come back.
Oh, I will.
You know, so appreciate it, and sharing your information of that emergency rental assistance program. You know, if people can look it up on their computer and be able to see if you can get some help if you need the help, or pass it
That's
on.
That's right.
You know,
and pass it on
to someone else. Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Sister Sada, and safe travels.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, brothers and sisters, that was very, very good. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now your mic is still open for someone who said, who is that? Sister, oh, Quran, or she's probably didn't have anything else to say. Mic is open and she's didn't come back on. Okay, so we can 914. Did we get you? Area code 914. Area code 914. Area code 914. Last three digits 3275. Did we get you? Did you speak? Did you want to speak? Because
no, I didn't want to speak. No, I didn't want to speak,
oh,
man.
Okay, then. I think I had opened everybody's mic because it was in case they wanted a conversation. Okay, then. As-salamu alaykum and as-salamu alaykum to Sharifa for me.
Okay, well, they come as-salam. I sure will. All right.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Okay, then. Well, look like Brother Muhammad is back on. And,
Assalamu alaikum.
What? Alaykum as-salam, Sister Quran.
I
called you before.
I just
Oh yeah, I know. I was in the back. I was in the back dealing with them chickens. But this what I but this said what I wanted to say is that because I was thinking, I was just laying down today and I was thinking, and I said, I remember the time that what we used to do, we used to socialize a lot, you know, even the children. We always had something for our children to do. And I had an event on the weekend, or at least once a month, every 3 months, or either different county had something. Like we always had this, what you call this thing where the Ferris wheel and all that. We had the Ferris wheel to come in town. We look forward for that once a year. And then all the time they used to have that. And then they had little different little parties and events, you know, social parties. And I said, that's what it is, because we are social creatures. We have to socialize. They say that's why if a person be in prison, like the one that be on death row, you know, being themselves by themselves, they start having, you remember that story about the bird man from Alcatraz? He would start, you know, he had to communicate with the birds. And something, I know one guy, he had roaches for his friend. He had 3 or 4 roaches that was his friend. So I'll tell you, so communication, that is very important to us. And that is that's one thing that our children are missing, is socializing with each other. Alhamdulillah.
Well, okay then. Anybody else would like to say the last thing, because it's getting near that hour. We have 5 minutes. And I would like to know if anybody else wants to contribute. Brother Muhammad, are you back? Do you want to say anything? Okay. Okay, they're back down this way. Okay, maybe.
Can I say one thing else?
Hold on, Karan.
Okay,
hold on.
All right. Okay.
Hold on. Okay, 909. Last 4 digits, 5630.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Yeah, you know, this is Rashad here in Los Angeles. You know, one thing that I always think about in thinking about the youth, and good to greet everyone again, you know, is that, you know, when I was coming up, you know, we did have, you know, gangs and stuff like that when we were youth. But, you know, we would have a fight, and then we would make up. You know, the same person you had a fight with would be on the basketball court playing basketball with you. You know, you say, oh, man, hey, man, you pretty good, man. You tell, hey, man, you threw some good licks. Say, oh, yeah, man, you know, ain't nothing to it. Come on, man, let's go on and play. And you forget about it. You go on and play basketball together. But today, you know, they want to really do some harm to you, you know, to use one another. We didn't do that back then when I grew up. You know, I'm 71, so I graduated from high school in 1969, you know. I graduated from high school. And so it's a whole other mindset, you know. We didn't have that. So I was just, my thought is what has contributed, I guess, maybe the movies and the music, you know, how they glorify violence in the music videos and stuff like that, that has really changed the mind of the youth, you know, because we didn't have that killer mind. You know, we really didn't want to kill one another. All we wanted to do was get out there and show somebody we knew how to fight and we could stand up for ourselves. We ain't no chumps. Or back then we used to say poop butt or Rudy poop, you know. You know, we say, hey, man, no, man, I ain't no poop butt, man. Come on, you know, and we go a couple of rounds with our fists, man, and that was it, you know. But today here, man, they, you know, they really destroying one another. So what has happened, I would imagine, would be the glorification of serious violence by the video rap music, I would imagine, you know, because that's what I think about what has changed the mindset. Because we didn't really want to kill one another when I was growing up.
Yeah, that's true.
There was no such thing. That's right. There was no such thing. We never did fight with guns. We always fought with our hands. We always fought with our hands. The best man wins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Brother Rashad. We got 2 minutes. Brother Rashad, would you make a dua to close, please?
Oh, okay. Yeah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Praise is due to Allah, Lord, Cherisher of all the worlds, the beneficent, the merciful master of the day of acquittal. Did we serve thine aid, we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy favors, not of those whose wrath is brought down, not of those who go astray. I mean, this is what I mean. She turned to me. This is what Allah is to mat. Alam yulit, alam yulit, alam yukalahu. To say he allows one lies, he on whom all depends. He get not knows he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Amen.
Amen.
Thank everyone for coming and playing a part. Just about everybody that was on here participating. The board was full of people. And we thank you, and we pray that you stay safe and join us again tomorrow night and the rest of the week except Friday. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. May everybody be safe.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. And right quick until they cut it off. Also remember what the sister said. Every time that we tell each other about our job or our activity, remember being the leadership people that Allah has created for us to be. Also look for employment or getting grant money to establish the same type of thing. The rental programs you telling you that you should have it in your county. If it's not in your county, then us Muslims need to listen to people when they talk and then figure out how to go and apply for those positions and provide those services to the community and take our natural position of being leaders of halal and bringing halal to the world. And we'll also generate income and everything in all the areas that we've been talking about, business, psychological effects,